O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love All Saints Day. I mean, how can you not? I mean, just hearing this hymn we just sang. Could barely get through it. I didn't quite make it through it. Get a little choked up. Because of the awesome majesty, power, mercy, and love of our God. See, All Saints Day brings with it the joy and hope of Easter. A focus on resurrection. Since those who have died in Christ Jesus have been and will be raised with Him. It also shares with Pentecost. It's the ingathering of the church from all times and places. The church triumphant, those saints who are with the Lord. And the church militant, that's you and me. People gathered together here on earth in the church this morning. It also shares and looks toward the final Sundays of the church year, and we're getting closer, although the weather today doesn't show it. These final Sundays of the church year focus on life everlasting. They focus on Jesus' return, the confession that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. On this All Saints Sunday, as every Sunday, it's still all about Jesus. The focus is on Him. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might not grow weary or faint-hearted. Fittingly, as we've moved into week 9 now, or chapter 9 of Christ Have Mercy, the chapter for this All Saints Sunday is the church. Holy and whole. The church that is holy, that is washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, purified, set us apart. We heard that this morning in Revelation chapter 7. The saints were in white robes with palm branches in their hands. But also we talk about the church being whole, being one, united. Ephesians chapter 4, St. Paul tells us, just as we have all been called in one hope that belongs to our call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, the church, holy and whole. You and I join with all of creation. We join with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We join with those saints who are with the Lord. We even join ultimately on that day with rocks and trees and hills and rivers. And celebrating rebirth and anticipating renewal. Being a part of the church is more than just a me and Jesus thing. It's more than just an individual thing. It's about being united. In the book, Dr. Harrison talks about the challenge that we, as Americans especially, though, have in not only being citizens of the United States of America, but more importantly, being citizens of the reign of heaven. Because here in America, we have an emphasis on the rights of the individual. My property, my prerogative. Who are you to infringe on my rights? As Americans, we might initially think, and I think this is the way that says it in the book, that no community or family can tell me what my personal faith should be. I can define it for myself, and then I can find a church that will give me what I think I need. However, the reality is we are in this together. Christ Jesus gives life mercifully, and that life is lived out in community. pronouns make a difference here. I found that how I say things reflects my thinking, and as I say them, it even helps to shape my thinking. First person, singular pronouns, I, me, my, mine, versus what I try to say in the church, we, us, our, ours. But often we're concerned with our individual experience. The book goes through and outlines a bunch of things. I'll share a few of them with you with respect to life in the church. The question of, well, who am I? What's my personal mission? What is my personal relationship with Jesus? What kind of worship do I like? What kind of music do I like? Are we singing too many verses today? We sang all 8 verses for All the Saints. It's kind of a lot. I don't know if we'll get out of here in time. A joke. What does Jesus mean to me? And what do I get out of it? I don't know that I'm being fed or not. The challenge is, I don't think it's much of a stretch to move to this next expression, and it is heartbreaking for me when I hear it. That says, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I can be off by myself doing this thing. This is just between me and God. And it breaks my heart every time I hear it. In fact, I think, I've been working on this for a few years now, I think the old Adam would go even farther. Not just to say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I think the old Adam would even say, I don't want to go to church to be a Christian. I'd rather find any number of things to do. Everything is theological. Everything is spiritual. And behind all of this I talk is the reality that sin separates and it brings death. My sin cuts me off from God and it cuts me off from you. It cuts me off from my family. And on this All Saints Day, we come and we sing and we confess that yes, the wages of sin is death, but death will not have the ultimate victory. And in the end, we will not be cut off in any way from God or other people. But we say, even right now, by faith, we are not cut off because we are in Jesus. And we somehow are with the saints who are gathered around the throne. We are with people from all times and all places that are brought together in Jesus. In fact, the scriptures, when they talk about life in the church, the epicenter of that Christian faith and life is Jesus. Jesus is the one who does the saving verbs. And everything that Jesus does places us into community. Puts us into a family. Into the church. Because the kingdom of heaven, the reign of heaven, it is a community event. It's not just me and Jesus sitting at a table. We hear this in parables like the parable of the wedding feast, when people are invited from all over to come and feast and celebrate in a meal. They live life together. Now, the New Testament does talk about faith in some sense as an individual thing. St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and that is absolutely true. But you and I as individual Christians are never viewed apart from the church. And together, we as the church, we confess something with our words, with our actions, with how we spend our time, how we spend our money. That life ultimately is obtained through mercy, through Jesus. Well, I told you in the beginning that I love All Saints Day, but I would say I have begun to savor it even more as of 7 years ago. See, 7 years ago this Sunday, I preached for All Saints Day. And I was determined that I was going to preach on All Saints Day regardless of what happens, but well, here's what happened. My father-in-law's birthday is sometime this week. I don't know exactly the day, and I missed the party yesterday. But forget about it. That's not the main point. The main point is, My in-laws live in Anderson, and we lived in Mattoon, Illinois, and Terre Haute was roughly halfway. And so on October 30th, 2010, Andrea and I and Piper and Oliver, Drew wasn't born yet, got in the car and we drove east to Terre Haute. We went to the Olive Garden and we sat down and everyone was getting settled in their seat. We had the menus and I looked over at Oliver and he just looked like he was kind of out of it. He was kind of, his eyes were glazing over. In fact, he looked like somebody that had had way too much to drink, but he was 2 years old, so that wasn't the issue. And the next thing I knew, Oliver had an awful seizure, and he was unconscious. Oliver has epilepsy. He had had seizures before, but nothing like this. Suddenly, it was a bit of a controlled scramble. As Andrea grabbed Oliver and is carrying him out, I'm going in the car. I'd just gotten a smartphone, so I'm trying to find where the nearest hospital is. I'm not all that familiar with Terre Haute. And it looked like Union Hospital was the closest. It was 4 miles away, so we're getting in the vehicle. Andrea's just holding Oliver. I said, wait a minute, we can't just drive around you holding him. You got to buckle him in the seat. And she's saying, well, there's a hospital, I think, right over here. I don't know. My phone says it's here. It's getting more and more chaotic. Just buckle him in the seat. And then I ultimately end up doing a U-turn in the middle of 41 or whatever that is, and we found the hospital. I pull into the parking lot, and just as Andrea is getting out to get Oliver, he throws up. And he's in the car seat, or the pumpkin seat, or whatever you want to call it, and so it's he's not in a good angle to get sick. Andrea carries him into the emergency room. There weren't many people there. And immediately they go to work on Oliver. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. And they decide to do a chest x-ray. Oliver was still unconscious. They start asking us about where we've been to the doctor, what kind of medical history Oliver has. I said, well, we know St. Louis Children's Hospital pretty well because Oliver has an underlying condition. And then after about another half hour, they decided that he needs to be medevaced. And so they call in the helicopter. The helicopter landed in the parking lot and the flight nurse comes in and he said, I want to just do another chest x-ray to see how Oliver is before we take off. They did the chest x-ray and they see that his lungs are starting to look very cloudy, that this vomit that he he'd aspirated and it's getting worse. So now we have to decide, do you want to go to Riley or go to St. Louis? Well, Oliver had been to St. Louis, so they decide to take him to St. Louis. As they're pushing Oliver out into the parking lot, Andrea and I are bringing Piper, and I'm trying to make the best of a terrible situation. Hey, Piper, let's watch the helicopter take off. Oliver's going for a ride. Now, all the while, Andrea and I have our heart in our throat because we can't go on the helicopter. There's just room for the pilot and the navigator or something and the flight nurse. And as I say, Piper, let's watch this helicopter take off. She gets upset. She says, she's only five, but I want to go on the helicopter too. It's not fair. Piper, you don't want to go. In fact, Oliver doesn't even know he's going for a helicopter ride. So we send Piper with my sister-in-law and nieces, and Andrea and I watch the helicopter take off and begin the three-hour drive from Terre Haute to St. Louis. We get a few text messages along the way from the flight nurse updating us on what's going on. And finally, the sun had set. We pull into the parking garage and make our way into St. Louis Children's Hospital. We'd never been to the PICU. We didn't even know where Oliver was. They said he's in the PICU. We ride the elevator up to the sixth floor, and there we see what says is the PICU, but the doors are shut. There's a red light on, and it's closed. Finally, after about 10 minutes, someone comes out and gets us. And they let us just step inside the doors. We see in one of the rooms that there's a flurry of activity, about eight doctors and nurses working on a little boy who appears to be naked. There's a red screen up that's kind of blocking our view, and the fellow comes out and starts talking to us, and he is all sweaty, and he says, you can't come in right now. That little boy that they were working on was Oliver. And his foot was sticking up in the air, and it was blue. He said, Oliver's blood oxygen saturation is 60 right now. We've been working on him for over an hour. We can't get it back up. His perfusion is not good. That's why it was blue. You're not going to be able to come in right now. So Andrew and I suddenly realized that our little trip to Terre Haute, which turned into a trip to St. Louis, is going to be much longer. And one of us is going to spend the night, so we go to Best Buy and buy a phone charger, and then wait another hour until finally they come out and get us. The chief of pediatrics comes out, Dr. Hartman, and she says that Oliver is still in the woods. He's not as far in the woods as he was, but it's touch and go right now. We're putting him in a medically induced coma, and now we have to wait. I think probably one of the worst moments of my life. Oliver ended up being in the hospital for a week. The first 48 hours was just a binary. Not about what's his quality of life going to be. Is he going to live? Or is he going to die? And yet I knew that I wanted to preach for All Saints Day that was coming up that Sunday. And as I sat there in the early morning hours in Oliver's room with him, wondering if he's going to live or die, I knew that we weren't alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. And I knew that I had to preach. See, the reason I wanted to preach for that next All Saints Day, regardless of what happened, is that I wanted to be with my church family. And whether I stood up there and wept the entire time, which I wept anyway, I was able to confidently proclaim the hope it is. I wanted to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ who were praying for us, some of which came over to St. Louis to be with us. I wanted to point to the hope that we know is in Jesus. Because in the end, I knew that the question on preaching on that All Saints Day was not whether or not Oliver was a saint. That was a given. But I wondered, is he going to be part of the church triumphant? That's what I didn't want. Will he be part of the church militant? Praise the Lord, he's alive. But the words of St. Paul from Romans chapter 14, they stuck in my mind. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. So I knew I was going to preach. So whether Oliver lives or he dies, he is the Lord's. But fill in your name, or the name of your mom or dad, or your husband or wife, or God forbid, your child. Those saints who are with the Lord right now, those saints who are, their bodies have been laid to rest, those brothers and sisters in Christ who are just a little bit east of here at the St. John's Cemetery, their souls are with the Lord, and there is no better place to be, and yet they wait for that day when Christ returns. Sin is awful. See, my deepest fear is being separated, is being cut off. And death, well, that's the ultimate. That's being cut off from someone we love physically. And yet God has bridged the gap. Our Heavenly Father has sent His Son so that we wouldn't be cut off. Not forever. Not from him or one another. The blessing of being in the church, it's not just an I thing or a me thing. It's an us thing, a we thing. We are in this together. And sometimes I'm the weaker brother with tears in my eyes, and you're comforting me with the hope that comes through Jesus. And sometimes it's you who have tears in our eyes, or maybe we both do. And our hope is always in Jesus, the crucified and risen one, the one who says, "You are not alone." Those saints who have gone before are not alone. They're with the Lord, and they're together. And you and I are not alone. We're with the Lord. We're together. And today we come to this altar not alone. We come together. And Jesus is with us, not just in some metaphorical way, but he says literally, "I am here. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood given and shed for you." And it's not just you and I that are together. We are somehow with those saints and angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And we know that the best is yet to come. I'm waiting for that last trumpet. In the twinkling of an eye. See, All Saints Day, it brings with it Easter and resurrection. Because in the end, the sting of death and any appearance of death's victory is gone. And the tears that we shed now are gone, wiped away, never again to be seen. Because Christ is risen, we will be raised. And All Saints Day shares with it Pentecost, because the church is gathered together around Jesus. We're not alone. And it shares with it the hope of the end of the church here that says when Christ returns. Well, we got a glimpse of it this morning, and we will still hear it, the music and the glory and the awe. Well, that'll be nonstop. And the eating and drinking, I don't know what you drink the water of life, the dancing, the being together will be awesome. And so whether or not my son or daughter or wife die before me, I know that they are the Lord's. And whether or not you or I die first, the reality is we are Jesus' children in a family. A family that is not separated to stay broken apart, but is held together by Jesus. To him be the glory. Amen and alleluia. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.